Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marty Swedberg.
Hey everybody, welcome back. Glad to have you with us in another edition of Marty's Friends, Perspective Transformation. Our guest today is Amy Duke. We're going to be talking about model behavior, responding to fear and uncertainty. And during this hour, you want to grab a notepad of some kind. We're going to talk about ideas for dealing with fear and uncertainty surrounding coronavirus, including how Amy's family is handling being out of work, homeschooling, and handling their son's special needs. We're going to talk about ways to help your children and teens process their own fears during coronavirus, how to generate new ideas during your shelter-in-place season, the way to never miss out on God's faithfulness during this unprecedented season, tips for increasing your faith and lifting your spirits, strategies to help you cope with being at home 24/7, secrets to increase unity and team spirit within your family, and ways you can model the behavior of Jesus and share his love during coronavirus. Award-winning author, athlete, and motivational speaker Amy Duke brings her background as a Christ follower and a fashion model to this conversation. Her website is amyjube.com. Welcome to you, Amy. I'm excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Marnie. I really appreciate you having me on today. It's such an honor.
Yeah, and this is a crazy time in our history, and you guys have some serious challenges that you guys are facing, and I think that, you know, as we, maybe as a preface to this, every listener has their own serious challenges, and they may not be the same as Amy's, they may not be the same as yours or mine, but the reality is wherever you are, you've got things that your subconscious brain is processing how this is going to work, how this is going to turn out, what's going to happen, how you can be safe. And it can be a lot of internal stress, even if you are peaceful about it mostly. So it's just a good conversation to have here about this. And to remember to just keep turning back toward the faithfulness of God. So, Amy, as we begin, talk to us. You're out of work, you're homeschooling, and your son has special needs.
Yes. Yeah. So I think starting this year in 2020, my word for the year is surrender. And so I thought this is really appropriate, especially considering this pandemic that started in March. And I think one of the things that's helping me and helping our family is just, you know, surrendering and working toward acceptance of the season that we're in. Because the more we want to change it or wish it was different or even try to make things happen, you know, as quickly as we can to get out of it, it's not working. So, you know, I think part of it is just accepting his plan for this season and trusting, you know, that he will provide for us. He knows we both love to work. My husband and I are like hard workers, type A driven people. Our kids love to be out. And I think it's partly just accepting that he wants us home, you know, for this time, and that he has a greater purpose in mind for us right now than we can even see. And so I think part of us is just, you know, seeking him on a new level. And I often find myself praying like the Lord's Prayer, and saying, Lord, let your will be done, let your kingdom come. You know, we may have had plans and things in mind and goals that we wanted to do, but God, your plan is best, you know. So I think that's been part of our process, from just, you know, trying to shift our perspective to match his, and then just really looking at what can we do during this season, you know, to prepare for what he has next, and what new things does he want us to be doing. So personally, as we've been at home, in between the homeschooling, my husband and I have been praying and brainstorming. And we started, I think it was the week the kids were on spring break, which was like the second week into the, you know, shelter in place. We started doing like a Facebook and an Instagram live together as a couple. And so that's been really exciting. Yeah, it's like fun. So he's got a sense of humor. He brings in his humor. We're talking with friends about practical things. Yeah, trying to make people laugh. And then we'll bring in a topic that God puts on our heart to share about and engage conversation with people. And then we end in prayer. it's such a cool thing. It's nothing we've even thought about doing, you know, until this happened.
Right.
So, yeah, so it's kind of like reinvent, or like some people are saying e-invent, you know, obviously we're all at home, we have technology.
Right.
Yeah, what does he want us to do? How can we bless people, encourage people, minister and help people in spite of what's going on? So that's kind of something new and fun that we've started doing. And then, yes, the homeschooling thing has been a huge adjustment for us. And if you have any, you know, I'm sure you have a lot of moms and dads that are out there listening. If you have anyone with special needs, it just makes it more challenging. Last week I had a long conversation with the social worker at school, and she said, you know, it's hardest on our special needs kids because they get so much extra support at school, so much extra help.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're kind of called as a parent to not only be a teacher, but a special ed teacher and wearing all those hats, you know, because they have assistants and aides. And, you know, my son listed off like 12 different teachers and people he sees throughout the day. I'm like, okay, no wonder I'm so stressed, you know.
Right.
I'm trying to do the work of 12 people.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah, my husband and I have been teaming up, and that's kind of working for us. Like, I mm-hmm. can help with the reading. He can help with the math. Sometimes, you know, we get big sister mm-hmm. to help some, although we're trying not to put too much on her because she has all of her own work to do. You know, she's a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I just feel like communicating with everyone at school, whether it's the teachers through emails or, you know, we have these video chats now set up that we're having our son do with them, and now we're doing regular check-ins with the social worker. So finding ways to continue to get that support, because that's what those kids need, that's what we need, you know, from the different people, and then trying to build in more rewards. So, you know, they have rewards at school. I'm like, okay, that works for a reason. So we need to kind of build those same rewards in at home. So we have, yeah, star chart, or maybe we're going to pay you X amount of dollars a day towards something big you want if you do a good job. So, yeah, those are some things that we're doing.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's this combination. What you guys are doing is a combination of surrender as well as a lot of proaction, where you're
yes.
looking for how can we, you know, and I love that combination. I think it's the James, you know, the faith and the works combination, where, yeah,
yes.
it's all about trusting God and it's all about resting there. But yet, he doesn't actually pick us up and get us up in the morning. We actually have to get ourselves out of bed. So there's this beautiful dance that we do with God during difficult times. And in fact, all the time, where there's his part and there's our part. And I love how you do that. I had this thought as you were talking. I'm going to totally put you on the spot here. So you have
okay.
a background as an athlete and a speaker and an author and a model. And now when you're going through this shelter at home, what does that remind you of? Does it remind you of a certain sport, or does it remind you, like, what does it compare to?
You know what? I was just thinking about that today. It takes a lot of endurance, and it's totally
endurance.
Opposite of what I'm used to doing. You know, like, it's so slow pace. It's so, like, gear down, gear down, gear down. You know, when I'm used to, like, going really hard and fast and long. So it's the opposite, but it still requires the same, you know, type of endurance, like running a marathon or doing a triathlon, running, biking, swimming. You know, you're exhausted, you want to give up, and you have to mentally tell yourself, no, we've been prepared for this, we're going to keep pushing, we're going to get through it, you know. So I think it's a very, yeah, similar thing of having that perseverance, having that endurance. I think taking it, you know, day by day. I mean, I think of one marathon when I was really hurting, my back was hurting, and I remember saying to myself, I was running in Dallas, I had this little kind of saying, like, keep this mile just another mile. So I was like smiling, and that made people cheer for me. And then I was praying as I was running, and then I just kept saying one more mile, you know, and then I got to the end. So I think I'm doing the same thing with my husband, like one more day, you know,
right.
We can
right.
get through one more day.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it is, I mean, that's the biblical principle, enough light for my path. Just enough, like a flashlight on the path. We don't have to see the big whole picture.
Yes.
We just have to take the next steps. And
that's so
cool.
True. That's so true. Good
so analogy. We have to back a little bit here to the fear that comes during this coronavirus. It is a it can be definitely in our faces. I've experienced some in my face fears as loved ones or friends contract coronavirus, are in critical condition. I mean, there's some in your face fear. There's also the underlying, I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know if we're going to be okay in any way. And I want you to address that both for your, let's start with this one piece, just for your, you and your husband being out of work right now. And not only out of work, but like the prospects of work for you guys. Well, maybe just share what you typically do for work. And then just tell us how you're handling the fear that comes looking forward.
Sure. So yeah, typically both my husband and I do live events. So he has his own company. It's called AV3 Productions, and he does lighting, sound, and video. And he does like big corporate clients in Chicago and even travels around the U.S. And then he does churches and nonprofits and charities. So he's doing events, galas, conferences, you know, webcasts, even across like between Canada and the U.S. And all this stuff is shut down.
Right. Right.
Because we can't gather, we can't get together, and everything's gone, you know, people are at home. So that, of course, has affected his work. It's pretty much slowed to, you know, almost nothing. And then for me, I have done trade shows in the past, and even still I had several planned for this year, and that was the first thing that fell through. Some were local and some I was going to travel, and they all canceled end of February for the year. And then I had a number of speaking engagements, and then those started, some of them started canceling. Thankfully, some of them are going virtually, you know, we'll be able to do over Zoom. But for a minute there, we were like, okay, good thing we have emergency savings. And we have been applying for the SBA help, by the way. So my husband has done that through the, you know, Small Business Association, I think for a grant and for PPP, which is called Payroll Protection Plan. And then I found out as an independent contractor, I can apply for financial aid. So I need to still do that. But yeah, so we're looking at those things. But the bigger picture is that we're just trusting the Lord. I mean, he knows our son has special needs. So he has something called Noonan syndrome. And it's a genetic disorder that affects him in probably like 10 different areas, you know, physically, academically, emotionally. And that's where he's on the IEP. He's actually a smart kid. He's everything can be treated. So it's not like, you know, extremely severe. Thankfully, everything, you know, we're seeing doctors and specialists and therapists so he can live a normal life. It was just a lot of, you know, work to, you know, to kind of keep him going, you know. So with his IEP, it's because he has learning disabilities and ADHD and he has an anxiety disorder. And then he takes nightly growth hormone injections. And that was kind of one of our first big miraculous provisions was we had our insurance carrier for Illinois switch to Norditropin, which is an answer to prayer. It's one of the best growth hormones for his condition. And we were able to apply for assistance. And they gave us, like, I think it's at least 6 months or a year. I think they reevaluate at 6 months, free medication, which is huge because our copay is $2,000 a month. That's how expensive this is.
Wow.
So that was like one way he just showed up. Yeah. So dealing with all that. And I thought, you know what? Me and Eric have been talking. God knows, you know, he knows our situation. He knows we're willing to work hard. He knows what our son is going through. He's, you know, diagnosed back in 2017, but he was born with this. So he's got a plan for him. And I was just thinking the last couple of days, like what's really spoke to me, especially during this season, is in Mark chapter 4, when Jesus calls the disciples out onto the boat, he said, I want us to cross over the lake, you know? And I really feel like the beginning of this year, if I look at January 2020, I feel like God said, I'm going to bring you somewhere new, you know? And I'm really like, God, I want to speak and write full time. And my husband's business is growing and we're believing it's going to be a great year, you know, and you're bringing us to a new place. And I think back to that. And now we're in the middle of this storm and in the same way, Jesus called, right? The disciples in the boat and we're going to cross over the lake. You know, the whole purpose was we're crossing over. And then right as they're crossing over, the storm comes up and the waves are crashing into the boat and they feel like they're going to drown and they're going to capsize. And I feel like we're in that moment now, right? You know, in this pandemic and Jesus is there with us, but you know, he was sleeping. He was sleeping in the boat. And so I was thinking about that even sometimes he doesn't intervene yet. He's there with us. We know he is. But he hasn't stopped the storm. He hasn't calmed the waves yet. And why is he doing that? Maybe he's trying to make us stronger. He's building up our faith muscles. He's teaching us to trust him. He's preparing us. I mean, he keeps telling me, Amy, this is preparation. Because when we get to the other side, to that new level of our destiny, that new place, that new assignment, the new purpose, we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. We need to be strong enough, you know. So I feel like it's kind of like that song, if you remember, sometimes he calms the storm and sometimes he calms his child, you know. So maybe right now he's calming us as his children. The storm hasn't stopped yet. And I feel like that's kind of where we're at. He's making us stronger. He's preparing us. And then, you know, the disciples finally wake him up. They're like, Jesus, wake up, wake up. And I think totally okay to keep praying and saying, hey, are you listening? Show me a sign, you know. And he woke up and then he rebuked the storm and it stopped, you know.
Yeah.
And he kind of said to them, hey, where is your faith, you know? So it's like kind of believing and trusting that even in the midst of all this that's happening around us, you're still in charge. You're still in control. You still know exactly how this is going to go. And you're not going to let the boat capsize. You're not going to let us drown. You're going to get us over in the perfect time. It's going to stop. You're going to bring us safely into that port. And so I think that it's just trusting him in that rocky boat that we're going to be okay. No one's going to get hurt, you know? Like you're believing for your friends to come out of the ICU. And we've seen that same thing. One of my daughter's good friend's father was in the hospital a couple weeks, pneumonia on the ventilator. He finally got off the ventilator a little over a week ago. And just Monday, he went into a rehab facility. But he's been sick for a while. So we're watching God miraculously work in his life. And it's like, okay, God, I just want to keep believing you for miracles, you know, even as we're in the storm.
Right. And it's, you know, it's back to the story of Peter walking on the water. You know, as soon as he got all worried about the waves, he went down. And as long as his eyes were on Jesus, he was able to walk on top.
Yes.
And that's really the hard thing to do here is just keep the eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
The waves are pretty compelling. You know, news is
And I think we have our moments, right? Like within our family. And we kind of said that too. Like, was it like 2 days ago or something, we heard something on one of those Christian programs. I think it was called Leader Check-In. And it was a live stream like right before Good Friday. And someone had shared, she was like the, I think the Moms in Touch or the something with prayer about her daughter had said, you know what, let's all let each other be real. Let's share our feelings. Let's not judge because we're all feeling so many different things, you know, on so many different days. And I feel like I might have a hard day one day, then one day Eric has a hard day, one day one of our children, or even throughout the day. And so it's kind of like letting each other feel and process and be there for each other and just support, right? Because it is, we're human and we've never experienced this before. And it is scary on different levels. And so, yeah, it's that piece of, okay, let's, you know, keep our eyes on Jesus. But when we let them fall off and we're freaking out, let's help each other back up, you know?
Exactly. So do you have any ways in particular that you're helping your kids process their fears?
Sure. What we're kind of doing, like one thing we're trying to do every night is do like family dinner time, which I'm sure a lot of people are because, you know, we can't eat out as much and it's actually good. So we're spending more time. And then we're doing like quality time, like every night, a different way. But it kind of maybe just kind of what the day may dictate. Like, for instance, we try to do like a weekly family meeting. And then there's a time like we might say, man, everyone's been real emotional today. Let's take time to process through our emotions. So we kind of go around the table where we'll say, okay, everyone, you can have 5 minutes. Just talk about what you feel. You know, what do you want to, you know, say? And if they can't think of like, you know, younger children or whatever, they can't openly just share. We kind of use these prompts that we learn from a counselor. We can say, what are you glad about? Well, at first you would start with the harder things. What are you mad about? What are you sad about? And then what are you scared about and what are you glad about? So we can kind of like get the emotions out, you know, because a lot of times what we find is like with the anxiety and like whether it's our son or, I mean, I probably have had a lot of anxiety. I've never been officially diagnosed, but, you know, it can come out either as fear or worry or it can come out as anger, you know? So it's like, okay, if we're having meltdowns or if we're upset, you know, there's other things going on under there. So let's kind of uncover that and let's talk about that because then we're going to help diffuse it, you know, and process through it. And it's going to be healthier. So we'll oftentimes do that. We'll go around the table and everyone will take their time to share, including Eric and I. And then the kids can see it's normal. It's good to talk about emotions. Let's help each other process through them. Mm-hmm. And so that's one way we're kind of trying to deal with the fears. And then another thing we've learned from some pastor friends years back, we started this called a God box. And I don't know if anyone does one of these out there, but we have like a little box, or is actually like a round little container. And we go around the table and everyone has slips of paper and we write down a couple of ways that we've seen God's faithfulness, whether he's answered a prayer or he's, you know, done something big for our family or for one of us. And we write down on a slip of paper and drop it in the God box. So we probably started ours when Ashton was real young. And so now we go around and we'll share our like two new ones, how we've seen God move. And then we take out a couple of the old ones out of the box kind of randomly. And then we'll share those because it's sort of a reminder of his faithfulness. You know, this is how he showed up before. This is how he answered prayers. This is how we've seen him move in our lives. This is how he's moving now. And so it's kind of like thankfulness, but on maybe on another level, you know?
Yeah.
So that,
well,
that's another thing.
It's real intentional.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yes, yes, definitely. And it's not, we don't do that every night, but we try to do that maybe once a week, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of another way.
Mm-hmm. So how is it that you guys are generating new ideas during your shelter-in-place season?
Well, let's see. I think, you know, prayer, we mentioned that at the beginning. I feel like this is kind of a time, and I think for all of us out here, you know, like the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us, you know, individually. Like, he's got plans for us. You know, even a friend today, when I asked for, like, will you pray for their homeschooling? We were stuck on music today with Ashton, and we needed prayers, and we were trying to figure out this assignment. And she kind of shared with me that scripture of James, if you don't have wisdom, you know, ask for wisdom. And so it's the same way right now. God, we need wisdom, you know, for how you want us to move ahead, how you want to handle homeschooling, you know, how you want us to earn income right now. So it's kind of like, you know, that prayer time, whether it's you as an individual or with your spouse or maybe prayer partners. Even for me, I often can hear from him when I'm relaxed. So maybe I go out on a walk with the dog, or sometimes it's even in the shower in the morning. I have quiet time and then he pops an idea in my head, you know, so it's just kind of taking that time to pray. And then sometimes like just being able to relax and hear from him. Other ways that we're finding new ideas is just by collaborating. I feel like with all of this technology we have going on right now and Zoom and, you know, Google Duo and Google Meets, that we can share what are you doing? You know, how are you handling this, or how are you, you know, getting through this time financially or whatever it is. It's just like collaborating with other people and getting ideas. Or it could be your small group at church, your networking group. You know, your church group. And so I feel like we're finding, you know, new ideas that way as well. And then I think for this whole new idea thing, sometimes it's scary, right? This like, oh, I don't want to try something new. What if I fail? And I sort of feel like this new level of give yourself permission to fail, you know? Because anytime, right, you try something new, it's like, I'm not good at that, you know? And I think being like a recovering perfectionist, you never want to do it until you like do it really well, and you don't want anyone to see you screw up. And I think that's part of my, you know, whether it's my upbringing as an athlete or especially modeling acting, you know, you perform, never let them see you sweat. And now it's kind of this whole other place of, you know what, I'm going to try. And am I fail? This might be ugly, but that's okay. You know, I'm going to get up and try again. So it's like a new season. It's a new way of doing things. I don't have to be perfect anymore. And I may fail in front of you, but that's all right. You know, we all learn, and you learn more by failure. And that's what I've been telling the kids, you know, success is great, but failure can be an even bigger teacher, you know? So don't be afraid to fail with your new ideas, you know?
Right. And failure, you know, I like to define failure as feedback, and I like to define success as well done, my good and faithful servant, which just doesn't really have so much to do with the perfection of it as it has to do with the willingness to try, to go do it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, God knows the talent, the story of the talents, you know, one guy got one guy got two, one guy got five. Why? Because God actually knew what they were capable of. He didn't give them all the same because they weren't the same. And God recognizes our capacity and our capabilities. And he does, you know, he gives us the amount that we can handle. And sometimes it's going to turn out perfect and beautiful, and other times it's really not, and it's really okay. It's really, really okay.
Yes, and it may lead to the next new idea. Kind of like, for an example, like in January I was praying like, how can I, you know, follow you, Lord, and you're leading me a new thing. And I had two different millennial friends that are in their 20s or like one is early 30s. And I said, Amy, you need to start creating videos. You know, they were telling me you should go live on Facebook or Instagram. And at first they were telling me all this stuff. And I was like, I can't do that. And I was like, one, I'm not young like you. And two, I was thinking, I don't have time. And then, of course, when this happened, it was like God was tapping me on the shoulder even more. Now's the time. And I'm like, okay, I'm so thankful. They both, and they were so urgent in January. Like, I have to talk to you. I mean, I want to tell you how to do this. And I was taking notes. And I'm like, okay, if this doesn't happen right now, I feel like it's supposed to happen. Because, you know, like when God starts speaking to you through more than one person. And so now I'm trying those things. And I watch it once just to make sure I didn't screw up. But I almost don't want to watch it because I'm like, I don't want to see all the imperfections. I want to make sure it's good enough. But, you know, I don't want to be my worst critic and then be like, oh, I can't put that out there. You know, so I'm trying to learn just to be, it's okay. It's not perfect, you know, but it's good. And it's the message God gave you to share in this video. And so, yeah, it's trying to, you know, these new things and yeah, we'll see where they go. But not being afraid to put it out there, you know.
Yeah, and I feel like the other thing is, you know, we're in really good company here because every church in America that wasn't already online had to figure this out in like 2 weeks. You know, I mean, everybody just had to be thrown into the deep end, figure it out because this has got to happen now. So everybody just figured it out together, and it's really good. And I mean, there's so many great things about this as well as the hard things. There really are. God is doing things that He wasn't. But He's doing things differently than He was before because it's different. And so like at our church, we have people listening in, watching online that could never come. They aren't in the area.
Yeah.
Go to church anywhere, but because now it's online, they can. So I feel like there's a lot of good that can come out of this. So you wanted to talk about how to never miss out on God's faithfulness during unprecedented times like this.
Sure. And that's kind of like a little bit what we talked about, maybe like how can we see His faithfulness? I'm thinking like, you know, like the God box, we can rehearse His faithfulness then. And as we recall that, we can trust that His faithfulness will be here for us during this time, that He will be faithful to provide, to heal, to guide, to direct, to give us grace, to handle, you know, being at home. And I think for some of people, you know, there's all different personalities and some introverts are like thriving. They love it. I am an extrovert. My husband's an extrovert. It's kind of like most people are like, okay, the Jobs, we're always on the go. You know, we've got so much energy. So for us to be at home, it's been like a challenge, you know, but to trust that His grace will be there and He'll be faithful to give us what we need to handle, you know, being at home. So kind of some practical ways that I've tried to just, you know, recognize His faithfulness. I've been journaling, you know, ways that He's answered prayers, my prayers to Him. I've been like writing out people that I want to pray for, working on staying thankful. It's something that I kind of do with the kids too. I'm like, okay, we all start to get into the, you know, the grumblies and, you know, complaining about things like, hey, what can we see what God is doing now? Like you said, what are the awesome things that maybe we wouldn't see Him doing if we were just living kind of the normal life? So finding ways to stay thankful and say, hey, what is your favorite thing about this season? What is your, you know, what have you enjoyed most about this time? You know, kind of seeing it that way.
Right.
And then one really cool thing that happened, like early on, this is probably like maybe only a week or two into it, we were like cleaning the garage is like one of our projects and like literally going through documents and shredding papers. Like we've been married almost 22 years. So this is like a huge project. And it was actually very good timing that I was going through some of these files from when Ashton was born about 10 years ago. And we had so many medical bills. I mean, he was in the NICU for 9 days. We were back in the hospital at 3 weeks for 3 days. He saw a number of specialists, had like 3 surgeries in his first 2.5 years. And I just remember drowning in medical bills because it was during the recession. That was back in about 2009, 10, 11. And we were even had less savings. And it was just, you know, my husband was about to graduate college back then. And so we just had so much on our plate. And we were just kind of drowning in the medical bills. And I remember someone had shared with me back then, you can apply for charity assistance through the hospital. And I was like, really? And, you know, what is that about? And so I applied at both, he was at 2 different hospitals. Literally, we owed, I think it was over 50 grand before insurance took their part out. But even after insurance paid their part, it was over 20,000. And so I was like, how are we going to pay? You know, I'm like, this is payments for a very long time. So I applied for assistance at both, and it was a very long process. I remember that. And they wanted every detail of information down to your, like, checking account. They wanted to see, like, a record of where you were spending your money. And I remember we still gave our tithe. I mean, to be honest with you, we still gave our tithe. And I remember thinking, are they going to look and be like, why are you giving to the church when you can't even pay these bills? But I was like, okay, God, we're just going to trust you.
Right.
And I'm submitting this stuff, right? Okay, hopefully some Christian will read this. No. So anyhow, within a period of time, we get back, like, letters from both hospitals and said, you have, you know, qualified for 100% financial assistance. You owe zero. And it was like, oh, my gosh. I mean, talk about over 20 grand in debt wiped away. Just, you know, I mean, it was a lot of work to apply. And then I saw all the bills. I saved the letter saying you qualified. And then I saved the bills, like how much we owed. That I called on every bill because there's so many doctors. I was reading, like, doctors I didn't even know. Because, I mean, when they're in the hospital, you don't even know all the doctors and people that are working. I was like, this doctor, that, I was like, who is that? And then all the bills that I called, all the places, and I'd write zero. I cross it out, paid in full, paid in full, paid in full. And it was like he wanted me to see that again now.
Right.
Like, hey, I did
right.
it once for you, Amy, Eric, family. I can do it again. You know? So it's like, God, you're
right.
awesome. You do amazing things. Yeah. He's faithful.
Yeah, I love
we
that.
We need the reminders.
We do need the reminders. And, you know, the children of Israel are a good example to us of what happens when we don't remember. They had huge miracles. I mean, huge miracles.
Yeah.
They just couldn't keep that in mind. They just kept going to their immediate situations. And it's just, I like the analogy of the airplane, that we are here on earth, kind of like, if you would say, under clouds. It's just a cloudy sky, and this is our experience here. But God's above the clouds. The sun is always shining, and
yes.
it's prayer that takes
yes.
us up there. Prayer that takes
That's
us
so
to
That's so good.
And it
yes.
always, what's amazing is it's always available to us. We get
yes.
to choose. And sometimes it takes longer than other times. Like you said, you know, I think it's important to say, you know, this is a harder day. Even this
yeah.
is a hard month, you know,
yes.
but to just as quickly as possible recognize, but God is not, he hasn't gotten off his throne. He hasn't gone out of control. So right up above the clouds of my life, he's there ready to put some sunshine in here. And so just to
that's
keep that in
good.
Mind.
Yes.
Actually,
that's really good.
The next thing we wanted to talk about is how
sure.
to increase your faith and actually lift your spirits. During this
sure.
time.
Yeah, so different things that we're doing is, I think, like, maybe in the beginning we watched the news a little bit more, and I feel like we're really limiting the news, you know, not only just for me and Eric, but, you know, for our kids. And I know one of my friends shared that doesn't even have kids, and she's like, it's probably, you know, for you as parents, you really have to do that, you know, and, like, try to keep your spirits up because you're trying to be a good example to them, you know. So I just feel like things that would, you know, tear us down. And not to say you don't ever want to be informed, you know, Eric's more like he'd flip on the TV. I'm more of a reader. So I read some news. So you want to know enough, you know, so you're not in the dark, but to not, like, be feeding on it all day. So if it won't make you afraid or, you know, drag you down, and trying to find positive news, you know, more listening to, like, Christians, you know, whether it's sermons or people are putting together these live stream conferences or putting on Caleb or worship music or even just fun music, you know, trying to find more positive messages and in positive ways, you know, making
yeah.
time, like, to praise and worship. You know, sometimes I'm like, hey, let's have a quick dance party. Now, we did this a lot when the kids were little. They're getting older now, but still I'll be like, hey, guys, let's dance, you know, because I'm kind of free-spirited and our kitchen has tile floor. So, you know, maybe we'll start, like, a little impromptu, like, dance party and put on Toby Mac or Mandisa or something, you know. And so just trying to find ways, you know, to keep, you know, spirits up, or we'll go outside a lot. I'm sure a lot of people are. We've had crazy weather here. It's like summer, then it's winter. We woke up to snow this morning, but I'm still, like, growing up in northern Minnesota, I'm like, I'm outside, I don't care, I'm whatever the weather is, you know, just taking a break and getting out. That I think that really helps as well. And I loved what you said about, you know, the prayer thing. And I will have to tell you, last week I had one of my hardest days. I don't know, I hit a wall. I think it was last Tuesday, and just things were really hard with my son. And that's where it's, like, good to reach out for help, you know, and to say, God, please send me helpers. That's kind of like my little SOS when I'm really, like, under it. And it's like, okay, just like you may be faithful to pray for people. Sometimes you just need people to pray for you, you know, and just help you. And I was like, God, please send me help today. It was just such a heavy feeling all day. And so that was when I kind of sent an email to Ashton's teachers, and they modified his IEP, his individual education plan, simplified it a little bit. They made some, things optional on there. And then I asked the social worker, can we please talk? And then she's like, yes. And we had this like over 30-minute conversation, which really helped. And here's a cool way that God intervened. So that night I was checking my Facebook messages, and there was two women, because remember just saying to God that I need more support. You know, my family's all in Minnesota. Eric's family's here, but his parents are kind of quarantined because they're older too. And so we haven't had like family around, which I'm sure most people haven't. And I was like, God, I just need support. And so on Facebook Messenger that night, two different ladies I've never even met. Now we've corresponded a little bit over Messenger. They both prayed. Like one lady said, I'm on disability. I'm at home. I can't work. And she's been on disability for a while, but she's like, oh, I can pray. And I think I shared with her, and she sent a message back. She goes, I just spent over an hour in prayer for you and your family. I was like, wow. I don't even know this lady. She's like, I'm praying for your son and praying for you. I was like, oh my gosh, God, this is you showing up, because I don't even know who this lady is. I know she lives in my area, but I've never met her. And then another woman was an older lady, and she sang two songs to me, and they weren't even like, you know, traditional songs that she like sort of had them like in her spirit. And one was about Jesus. So she recorded them and how much Jesus loved me. And then the second one was how beautiful I was. And it just spoke to me. I was like, I just needed that today. I just needed to know, you know, it's amazing.
No, it's
and
good.
Like, I don't even know these people. I'm like, isn't God good? And I'm like, okay, thank you, Jesus, that you knew exactly what I needed, and you brought that to me. And please help me, God, to be used like that in other people's life that need that in that moment. Show me what to do so I can be that to them, you know, where it just speaks to you in ways you can't even describe, you know?
I just encourage you guys too, when, you know, when you get up in the morning, just say, God, use me today. How can you use me today? Flow through me. And like those ladies were, they didn't touch you. They didn't come to you. They didn't have money to give you. They just gave you what they had, and it was so perfect. And I just feel like sometimes we feel like because going on, we can't serve God, and that's just not true. And there doesn't have to be any shame either. If they would have done it a different day, it wouldn't have been as meaningful. But because they did it on the day, God knew and was orchestrating that. I think that's what's amazing.
Yes, it's so cool. It was such a God thing, and I'm like, I even told both. I'm like, you can't understand how much it means to me. I'm like, I just needed this today, and it was so timely, and just everything you said, and. Yeah, you just know that's when God is, like, showing up. You know, it's like he's real. It's like he's in the room with you or something. You know, it's like, okay, you're in the boat with me. All right, I'm not going to drown, you know.
I always say, you know, I mean, he always is. But it's so fun when he shows up big time. Like, when he just, like, shows, I call it showing off. Like, when he flexes his muscles for us, you know, he says, I'm your God.
Yeah.
And he's always there, but he's not always showing up in the same way. And it does just help us so much when he does those things specifically to thrill our hearts. So what are some of the strategies to help us cope with being at home 24/7, especially for those outgoing, you know, personalities thriving like our, I so agree with you that, you know, there's a whole section of the population that's just loving this. This is awesome. But the real outgoing people, this is really tough.
Yes. And I think about, you know, people with children, and some people have small children. My younger brother has like a toddler and a baby, and he's at home. And it's a lot of different challenges in different ways. So for us, we're trying to just use our creativity. I feel like trying to come up with new ideas, you know, in the house helps, you know. So like every night my husband brought home this thing from work. It's like one of those big easels with like the big flip chart. So we've done like Hangman, and we've done Pictionary, and so like different nights. Like last night we did Mad Libs. I happened to find the Mad Libs book when I was cleaning the garage, and so that can just be funny. But we're trying to always find like new and different things to try. And I remember early on, it was spring break, and I was like, okay, we're definitely doing a staycation on a whole new level here. So I went to like Target, and I like picked up like different like crafts and projects, and I think I got paints. My daughter's learned how to do calligraphy. My son did this lava rock project with his dad. It's like, okay, this is not stuff we normally do. I mean, not that we're not crafty at all, but my daughter's trying the most. But yeah, let's just find different things that we can try, you know, that, you know, even a friend called me recently. She's like, have you thought of like model cars? You haven't done that yet. My brother used to make those like plastic model cars. I don't know if that was like our generation. Do you remember that with the glue and the little kit? You know, but yeah, for like inside stuff, like what else can we do? We've been playing different board games. Sometimes I'll just play a game with my daughter. Sometimes we'll all play. Sometimes my husband and my son, you know, so trying to find, yeah, different things. When the kids were younger, our two go-tos, and this was even back when we didn't have a lot of extra money, you know, kind of when Ashton was younger, we played a lot of hide and seek. So it sounds so funny, but we did variations of it. We'd play like, okay, there's one counter, and then we do like, okay, now two people are going to count together and two are going to hide. Our dog even started playing with us, which was hilarious. He wanted to be a part of it. And then we'd play like, okay, now we're going to play in the dark. We're going to go for flashlight hide and seek. Now we're going to play, okay, no lights at all. Can we do it? You know, so we did many variations on that. Yeah, and we've had a lot of dance parties because Eric has like a background in DJing, so we even have some lights in the basement, and we'll just play and have fun or do freeze dance, you know. It depends on what age your kids are. But, you know, there's, like, a lot of different things you can do to interact, you know, inside and even away from technology. And then, of course, outside. You know, even a strategy for us to cope is, like, we had good weather last week. I set up the patio furniture. I'm like, okay, now we have a whole nother space where someone can go. I mean, sometimes it's like, okay, one person on each level, you know. Try to find, okay, you're going to be in this space, you're going to be here. We all just need time apart right now, you know, like whether it's to do school or we just need a break. I was going in the garage last week to pray. I'm like, okay, this is my new little, you know, war room, the garage. You know, like even a minute ago, I was running around the house. That's why I was winded, because the dog came by me and he starts to bark. So I was downstairs. I had to run upstairs. But yeah, so sometimes it's like, okay, let's find a quiet space. Or I'm taking like longer showers. I don't know if any other moms feel like this. I mean, that's my place. If you need to cry, cry. If you want to pray longer, pray longer. If the kids are knocking on the door, mom, I'm like, I'm in the shower. I'm like, how long can I make the shower? 30 minutes? I'm like, I just need some quiet time.
That's awesome.
Hey, it kind of works. Or a bath. Okay. I have taken at least one or two bubble baths. That helps, you know?
Yeah, bubble baths. Yeah, David, yeah. I moved 2 years ago, and we moved from a very large to a smaller house, and so we had up north, we had a whole closet full of puzzles and games and all kinds of stuff like that. We only brought just like less than one box, we've kind of just burned through, you know. So we've been playing a lot of Yahtzee, and we actually had quite a few dice for a game that requires more dice. And what we found was that the dice roll very differently. And so now we're becoming kind of dice. And we just simply have way too much time on our hands. But it is good. It is good to have kind of a whole, you know, to just come at this thing with surrender. Like you said, you know, we are right now, we're in the barracks. We are right now locked, hunkered down. And, you know, time to go out and do stuff again. And like I said earlier, there's still stuff we can do every single day in our homes, but we do need to have some fun. Just like you said, a dance party or, you know, play a game or do something that's really fun for the families. Yeah. And I know that that's part of your secret to increasing unity and team spirit.
Yes, I agree. I agree. That's kind of stuff we've done. And like even, for example, last weekend, my husband and my son, like sometimes I'm like, take a break from technology and, you know, looking for ways to bond like as a family or even like father, son or mother, daughter. So like they went up in the attic, we were cleaning the garage, brought stuff up there. And then they came into like finding all these old treasures, you know, my husband's baseball cards and football cards. And now my son is into that. So he is so excited to see his collection up there. He's yelling down, like, mom, guess what I found now? And they're finding like memorabilia from our childhood and all these pictures and then certain things they brought down. And, you know, then all of a sudden you're going through old photo albums and, you know, things together and talking about your past. And I was thinking, we probably wouldn't be talking this much to our children and sharing about our growing up years if we didn't have all this time. So it's kind of cool that we do have the time to share like that. And then with being outside when it's nicer, my daughter and I, or sometimes my son, the three of us will go if my husband's off on a, you know, a side job or something. Or one day I just intentionally said to my daughter, why don't you and I go on a really long bike ride? And it was really cool. We ended up going, like, I think we went 10 miles that day. I was like, okay, mom needs to rest now. But, you know, just that time to, like, connect, because she's 15 and you got to try to pull her out, you know, draw her out. She's a teenager now. So she's, you know, liking to spend more time alone or, you know, with her friends on FaceTime or whatever. So trying to find creative ways, you know, to kind of spend time with just her. And then, you know, even for, like, my husband to spend time with her and vice versa. So it's, we're trying to always look at ways. And I think even for my husband and I, we've been talking, how can we still make time together? And I don't know if other people find that challenge that have kids at home. So it's like, okay, let's take these certain nights and say, okay, the kids are going to bed. We're going to turn off the TV, turn off our phones, and just let's talk. Let's have time together, you know, because it's hard with everything going on. We were going on coffee dates and things before this happened. So now within the house, how do we find time, you know, for the two of us to connect? And so we're really trying to work on that right now as well, so we can stay unified. And other ways that we've kind of worked on, like team spirit and being together, we've started doing more family devotions. So we'll often do that at dinner, or we'll take turns, maybe different people will pray instead of, you know, just mom or dad praying. With this Passover season, maybe starting April 1st, I think we started taking communion at home together. So we've done it here and there in the past, but we thought, you know, with the whole Passover, you know, like back with the plagues and how if you put the blood on the doorpost and, you know, the symbol of communion in Jesus that we're believing for this plague to pass over our home. So it's kind of a symbol of that, you know, doing the communion together. We still do church together online. So we're doing that every Sunday morning, and we try to interact with like the lives, you know, before. So we're trying to, you know, make sure we're all, you know, doing a church together, and then looking for ways to like serve in our community or our neighborhood. So we're like, okay, like last weekend at Easter, who can we bless this weekend, you know? And I think it started with Ariana. She's like, her one friend, her dad has gone through, you know, the COVID-19, was still in the hospital. Like, let's bring that, her like an Easter basket. And then, you know, I was like, you know, we should do something for the neighbors, because a lot of our neighbors are firefighters and nurses, and they're on the front lines. And then it grew into, hey, let's make a poster for the hospital, because the Huntley Hospital is right across the street from us. So our fence literally backs up to like one of the exits. So we put up this huge poster. It made it 3 days and it disappeared. I don't know if it blew away or someone took it down. But it was just like thanking the hospital workers and saying, we're praying for you. And so this is like our new thing. It's like, this is really encouraging to us to be able to encourage other people, right? Get your mind off your own struggle. And so it's like, how can we do this as a family too, you know, like serve or come together and do things for people in the community? So that brings unity too. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's so cool. And I love the consistency through this program. You're talking about surrendering to the reality that this is how it is, and then being very proactive in how can we, that's what we want to talk about now, is how to model the behavior of Jesus, share his love. And I think the main thing in my heart is to encourage you guys that it is completely 100% possible for us to be Jesus to people during COVID-19. Nothing has about that. Now, the method of communication of it, the method of the delivery maybe is changing, but Jesus is still extending love to every human being.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree. So kind of what I had to realize maybe a couple of weeks ago is like, okay, I need more time with him. So I'm trying to be intentional about waking up earlier. My son is a very early riser, so I got to try to beat him to the punch. But, you know, to like fill up first, you know, so I try to get up early and have that time, which I normally have a quiet time, but I'm trying to have a longer where I can, you know, be reading the word and journaling and even more time in prayer so I can really fill up. So that I have, you know, the love of Jesus to pour out on my family and then whoever else he's leading me to that day. So that has been an important part. And then my husband and I, at night, we read devotions together and we pray together. And we're even trying to pray more and be really specific, you know. And he's like leading us to do certain things, whether he's like, hey, I want you to help this organization out, or hey, I want you to write a letter to that family member. I want you to apologize. I mean, there's very specific things he's given us to do, you know, as a couple even. So it's like having that time in prayer so you can be led by him and just really, it's like this slow slowing down, right, makes us look at a deeper level and kind of do the things we might not normally do because we're too busy, you know? So it's been pretty cool to see how he's working. And then kind of like we talked about reaching out, you know, I feel like a lot of it right now is just showing the love of Jesus, because I think so many people are afraid, you know? So it's like, okay, not that we're not afraid at all, but how can we show his love and just, you know, perfect love casts out fear. And how can we just show that love, you know, be the hands and feet, whether it's encouraging notes, whether it's chocolates, whether it's an encouraging sign, whether it's bringing someone a meal, whatever it would be, practically speaking. So that's part of it. And then I think he's also challenging, especially I feel like me and maybe as a speaker writer, to just, you know, bring the gospel, you know, share about Jesus. So even like last Good Friday when we did our live, I really wanted to say, hey, this is what a relationship with Jesus is like, you know, and shared a little bit of my testimony. And, you know, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not like this elite Christian club. That's kind of what I thought before I became a Christian. You know, you had to be perfect. You had to have it all together. You could never make a mistake. And Christians are these perfect people that live these like flawless lives. And I've already ruined it. I mean, I've lived a crazy life, you know? And then it was like the exact opposite, you know? A friend of mine in college was like, no, you know, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You're the perfect person, Amy. I'm like, what? It was so hard for me to even comprehend. All they had to do was believe in my heart, confess with my mouth, you know, Jesus is Lord, I'm forgiven. It took me longer to really comprehend it, even though I made that decision, and then to forgive myself of all this stuff. But to really communicate that what is being a Christian, you know, a relationship with Jesus, he forgives all of our sins, and it's not a special club for certain people, you know? And so just, yeah, conveying the heart of Jesus like that to people during this season. And I think it's kind of like getting rid of the religion, you know, like the do's and don'ts are the things that say, if you're like this, and if you do this many good things and you give this much to your church, or, I mean, not that those things aren't bad, but it's not those things that get us to heaven, you know, it's only Jesus that gets us to heaven, and no one is disqualified, you know, he came for the weak things of this world. So yeah, just giving that message out there to people that love, you know, and Jesus wants a relationship with you, and doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done or what you're doing now, he loves you just right where you're at. He'll meet you right there. So yeah, it's exciting. I have like a heart of an evangelist inside me. So I love that. We can share that with people. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Well, one of the things that we've been enjoying doing is watching the actual government from the U.S. If you go to U.S.gov, every evening they have the live press conference with the president, and then Vice President Pence and others are there. And one of the things that Vice President Pence says every single day is he says how proud he is of the American people for for compassionately following the rules that the government has put out for us to care for one another. And I think God, and that just comes through so much where we are. Yeah. We could say, yeah, I feel really like, you know, some parts of this are too much suppression, or that, you know, we wouldn't agree with how everyone's using the power that they've been given or whatever. But at the same time, if we just look at it through the eyes of love, we would say, I don't want to be the person that's asymptomatic and spreads coronavirus to someone who then gets it and really struggles. Love saying, for the sake of another person, I will choose wisely here. And so I just love that. Yes. In the Bible, it's real clear, you know, they'll know we are Christians by our love. And so to just remember, you know, if Jesus does live through us, he actually, we are his hands, we are his feet. And so to just continue to extend love at this time. Well, Amy, this has been such a fun hour.
Really, thank you, Marnie.
Thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's such an awesome thing. I was so excited. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, good. Well, and I want you guys to know that you can visit her at her website, which is her name, Amy Joob, and that's joob.com. AmyJoob.com. Amy, when people go over there, what are they going to find?
Yeah, you'll find out a lot about my recent book that came out, which is called Model Behavior, Make Your Career Path Your Calling. So you can learn about that, sign up to get exciting newsletters each month. I like to write blogs, and And just to kind of put out there, I did have a modeling career for over 10 years, but my book is really about bringing your faith into your workplace. So wherever God has called you to be, whether it's in ministry or it's in the marketplace or wherever you are, to bring Jesus there. And so it's really a story about that, how he prepared me, how he provides for you, how he protects you in that place. So that's a little bit about my story, and that's kind of still my hope in life, is to carry those same themes out. So yes, I would love for you to visit my website, and it's, my name is actually Job. So it doesn't look like Job, does it? But think of Job in the Bible, but it's spelled J-O-O-B. So yeah. AmyJob.com. I'm also on Facebook, and it's Amy Robnik Job, R-O-B-N-I-K is my maiden name. And then I'm on Instagram at AmyJob1. So I would love to connect with you any of those places.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much. Thanks for your life, Amy, and for just letting it flooding through you, and just for sharing what he's given you with so many.
Thank you so much, Marnie. I really appreciate it. I pray blessing over you and your family and over all the women speakers. So thank you.
You bet. Okay. And you guys, be sure to go over and check out Amy's website at AmyJob, which is joob.com. And also, she's one of our speakers over at womenspeakers.com in Chicago, Illinois. This is Marnie Swedberg. You have been with us this afternoon for Perspective Transformation on the topic of model behavior responding to fear and uncertainty. It's always fun to have you here with us, and I pray that God is comforting you and carrying you through this season. He definitely wants to. One of the things that's been the most comfort to me in the past 2 weeks, especially, is the thought, the reality that God is present and available to every human being on the entire planet Earth. There's not one person who is alone. God is right there with you right now. Whatever it is that you're thinking about, whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that you're looking forward to or fearing in the future, God is right present with you now. So I just encourage you to reach out to receive the grace and the love, the peace, even the protection and provision that he's extending to you. And this is a crazy season, but we have a big, big God. So he wants to walk with us through this and give us comfort and hope. So I encourage you to do that. My website is marnie.com, M-A-R-N-I-E.com, and also got a new YouTube channel up. So if you put my name in, Marnie Swedberg, the name of the YouTube channel is Perspective Transformation, and you'll be able to find that. There's lots of fun videos over there going up. So thanks for joining us. Have a wonderful day, wonderful weekend. We'll see you next time. I'm Marnie Swedberg. Bye-bye.